T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The McNeil and Parkins Show.
670 The Score in Chicago. Shout out to you guys, McNeil and Parkins. Love you guys.
Afternoons on The Score.
The road to nowhere. That's what happens if they don't get to number one tonight.
I don't think that.
Oh, yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
The seventh pick belongs to
the Chicago
For a second, I thought I was dead.
So we know where Chicago will be drafting now.
What just happened was an unbelievable disaster.
Seven.
Seven? You're serious?
Yeah.
It's awful. I hate it.
All right, let's just stay calm here. Don't get all crazy on me.
Listen, I'm as cynical of a Bulls fan as exists. I am as down on this team and this front office and this organization as you possibly can be. But R.J. Barrett would be a real asset. Ja Morant would be a great asset and a perfect fit at two. I don't believe that this is a one-player draft. I think that there should be a huge celebration if they get the second pick also.
I'm very confident. I say this all the time. I mean, we got the seventh pick this year. We're confident we will get a player we can add. Now, obviously, in this draft, there's a generational type of guy, and New Orleans is better off for it. But this is about building a team, and I'm always confident we're going to find value where we draft.
Thank you. That was great.
That's beautiful. I miss that.
To tell you the truth, you know, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire.
Oh, yeah. All of that on David Byrne's birthday yesterday, too. Terry Bores is sitting in for the vacationing Danny Parkins. Parkins is sitting out at O'Hare. He's probably boarding. He and his wife are flying off to Europe for almost 2 weeks. And I know how frustrated he must have been, even though he tried talking that game like it's not a one or a two-player draft. When he finds out it's number seven, yeah, his little heart's broken.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Joe Colley joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford, with more than 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Joe swings the big stick for the Sun-Times.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
You get an honest opinion. You get a guy who tells you everything Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf don't want you to know about their basketball team. What's going on, Big Joe? How are you today, man?
Good. How you guys been?
We are outstanding.
Okay, I'm all right.
Good to have Terry with me today. He's going to be here again tomorrow and Friday. And neither one of us reacted angrily to anything that we learned or heard last night. But it just seems like that's the muscle memory from Bulls fans. Twitter last night, Facebook last night. People just MFing the Bulls, who did nothing but show up and get the seventh
lottery.
Pick. Yeah. That's it.
So you guys are lucky. You've reached the numbness stage of this whole ordeal, so you don't have to worry about feeling the pain. No, I mean, look, I don't know what the numbers were, and you are hoping that the numbers would smile upon them, just because when you look at the, you know, when you have some draft recognition and look at what this draft was about, you know, you have this freak of nature that we have no comps of, because there is not a human being that's been able to do what he does physically. I don't know exactly how that translates to the NBA, but I know I've never seen it at the college level. So that's the intrigue with him, is, you know, God doesn't make people that are, you know, tanks that can fly. And so, and then you have this point guard who kind of came from nowhere in the last 2 years and burst onto the scene and was showing an athletic ability and an attack at the rim that we see from the guy from Oklahoma City. But, you know, he's not a fake tough guy and doesn't have a scowl and doesn't, you know, stat pad and all that kind of stuff, and actually has unbelievable playmaking skills, which when you look at the Bulls, that's what they need. So you dream. And then as they're reading the list down and they flash that white card at seven and you see a Bulls logo on it, your dream ends. And then you're like, all right, Cam Reddish.
That's it for that.
Maybe Darius Garland somehow falls. And, you know, you start just getting very unexcited about the process because it's almost same old, same old. And where I think Bulls fans and where many people get upset is now it falls back on Gar Foreman and John Paxson to get this pick right and continue moving this rebuild forward. And I think there's people that have lost faith in those two handling that and getting that done. So, you know, I mean, the DL 1 or 2 is a no-brainer. They couldn't break that toy. You know what I mean? It was just for all of us to play with. Now it's in their hands, and I think there's the frustration.
Joe, each passing year, there is less and less of a connection between young sports fans and the Bulls ever mattering in this town. Does the organization, it would be easy to lose sight of it because you're profitable and you're definitely filling that building to a large percentage of its capacity, but are they mindful that they're not doing a very good job creating a new generation because of this continued suckage?
Yeah, but, you know, here's the problem. I mean, you know, we've played two or three games out of country now, not including Canada. You know, there's been a preseason game down in Brazil and obviously the game in Mexico City. And the Bulls brand is such a global attraction because of that statue that sits in that atrium over at the United Center.
Still, and if you watch closely,
I definitely think people, you know, it's a fable for, I think, kids in this generation. But, you know, I don't know if that kind of stuff matters to this. I mean, you know, look, everybody loves Steph Curry and, you know, all the kids loved him. And then they start turning on him and now Zion, you know, so I don't think there's that, you know, I just looking at my kids, they jump from player to player. It's no longer about hometown pride and this is my team. And so I don't really think that's a big thing in any sports town or in any fan base with kids. I don't think kids operate that way anymore. Just, you know, looking at how my two boys and their friends operate, it's just they're you know, I was kidding around with one of them yesterday. I called him Benedict Arnold because he's, you know, jumped teams just this off season, and so and then he was like, "What team is Benedict Arnold on?" I was just like, "Forget it."
Yeah, right.
So
who did he play for?
Yeah, who did he play? Where's he going? So yeah, I don't think Zeke. There's that. What they do take note of, I will say this: they do respond to how the media in Chicago perceives them and has beaten them up. They do wear that. Now, if you're secure in your job and you know you're not going to get fired, you can wear that a lot different way than where you feel like, yeah, I could get fired because of this. So that's the disconnect. But at the same time, they do listen to what is said about them,
yep,
the job they're doing and the direction the team is going. And you know what? I will say this about Michael Reinsdorf. I do think it matters to him. I do think he wants this thing to change. I just don't know if that's possible with the old man still wanting to put the final stamp on major decisions. And until that changes, I really don't know what Michael is capable of, because I don't know what is still run by his father or what needs final approval by his father. And we might not know that for a while. So.
Yeah, seeing the other day, Joe, what they're doing to keep fans coming out and so forth, they're offering everything but a seat next to you. I mean, they've got all kinds of stuff going on, so they're conscious of it. They're not completely tone deaf to what's going on.
Yeah, I was joking with somebody yesterday that I may be giving my seat up. If they can get Lonzo Ball, I'll be sitting in the stands on his dad's lap because I won't have to talk to anyone else. I will be strictly on the LeVar Ball beat. That's my wheelhouse. That's my wish. That's my hope.
Back to what you said about Michael Reinsdorf. Is there a reason to believe he might have the same behavioral tendencies as his father when it comes to loyalty to a fault? I've heard that suggested, that Michael probably is of that same mindset when it comes to making the tough decisions because of certain loyalties and longtime friendships and associations.
Yeah, no, I've talked to him about this, and I won't go into detail of who. So he and his father have had some disagreements. Even back in the Sox days, when, you know, he didn't have a say in the Sox, but just all in the Sox, it was just all opinion he would offer up. But there were some guys that his dad was holding on to that, as a whole, the entire organization was screaming, "You have to move this guy. You have to get rid of this guy." And, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf, unfortunately, it's almost become defiant rather than loyalty. It's almost like the more you tell him this guy has to be moved or this guy is failing, he just puts his middle finger up and becomes even digs in and becomes even more defiant. So I know that Michael sees things a bit different than his father, but we won't be able to tell until we know for sure that Michael is making the decisions 100%. You know, look, do I think John Paxson has wanted to move on Gar Forman? I think he has. I think there are times or things that happen that he may have. Do I think that Michael Reinsdorf hears and understands that, look, I have a general manager that I can't even put in the forefront publicly because of the disdain for him from the fan base that whenever he speaks, our Q rating goes way down. So I have to have the VP of basketball operations be the face and do all the talking for us. So what does that tell me? I should either move this guy to a different position, which I asked on the final day of the season a couple weeks ago when they talked about that. I said, why, you know, you love the way he scouts. Why not just give him a different position, bring in a general manager that could actually do general manager stuff and be a big boy and sit at the table with free agents and not make them uncomfortable because he's awkward and because he sounds like a used car salesman. And to me, Gar is smart. From everyone I've talked to, Gar does, you know, Gar respects Michael, Gar respects John, but Gar also has aligned himself with Jerry and make sure that if he has something to say, he says it directly to Jerry. So Gar's a survivor, and I've said that from you know, the last 5 years. I've been screaming that on the top of every mouth. This guy knows how to survive and how to stay in this position, and unfortunately, I think he has aligned himself with the only mouthpiece that matters, and that's the chairman. So until I know 100% Michael's making 100% of the decision, I don't know his loyalty. So, I wish I could give you an answer, yeah. But it's kind of just untested water.
Sure. Joe Cowley from the Sun-Times with us. McNeil and Boers, Parkins on vacation. Terry's with me today until 5. We're truncated. Cubs and Reds later on today. Terry's going to be with me again tomorrow and on Friday. Michael Reinsdorf was on with Mully and Haw last week. And in his effusive praise of head coach Jim Boylan, he referenced how Boylan had such a willingness to cuddle up to Doug Collins. And he went into great detail about that relationship. He talked about it for 45 seconds. He was using it, Joe, as a sales point. What should that do for anybody? Why would anybody care about what a head coach you fired 30 years ago, now as a consultant? Why is that even something you're selling him on? That seems really odd to me.
Yeah, it's different, but I think they really respect Doug Collins' opinion, fair or unfair. And I think what they see is it. So basically, Fred would talk to Doug Collins, but I don't think Fred felt comfortable with Doug Collins. I think he saw it as a threat. Where Jim is more of, Jim is smart. Jim has embraced the missteps of the last two coaches and has, you know, he wasn't here for Tibbs, but he knows the stories, and he was here for Fred and knows the missteps that had Fred fall out of favor. So I think he's very smart in, okay, if this is what the organization likes, this is what the organization doesn't like. And the one thing I will say about everything he's doing, and I've even talked to Jim about this, to me, the best organizations I've been around, or at least the ones that where I saw winning, whether it was back when I was covering the White Sox or even when I initially jumped to the Bulls and Tibbs was still trying to hold this thing afloat, is when you have, and I think more so in the NBA because you have so few players compared to baseball, but I don't think there is, you can have that relationship with the front office and keep it with the players, or have that relationship with the players and keep it with the front office. I think eventually Jim is going to have to, because then I think distrust, especially from that locker room, starts to show itself. And so I'm anxious to see as he develops. I don't need him to be Tibbs and keep his door closed and barricade it and you know, dig himself in a foxhole like Tibbs did, because that thing became so volatile. But I'm anxious to see if Jim starts to realize, you know what, I got to make sure I don't lose these players, because at the end of the day, these are the most important pieces I have. But yet I don't want to be Tibbs, and I still want to be able to talk to the front office and have this open dialogue. So I think that will be interesting to see as his contract goes on and the years go on, how he balances that. You know, I know players did warm up to him, but I also know that there are players that have mentioned, you know, they always do see him talking to Doug or seeing him talk to Gar or see him talk to John. And because of the history of this team, whether it was because when these players were here or just stories they heard, there's always, well, is this guy a spy? Is this guy, you know, we're given, you know, if we talk to our coach or our assistant coaches about private things, does it get to the front office? So that's something I think, you know, we all have to watch. But, yeah, Jim is doing everything the previous two coaches didn't do, and warming up to Doug Collins and making sure you pick his brain and have interaction with him is important for this front office, and I think Jim knows that.
Well, because since you've been doing this forever, where would you put your level of confidence in Boylan to ever turn this thing around, or at least, Joe, start to turn it in some direction that isn't a disaster?
Right. Well, I will say this. I like his attempt at establishing an identity and a culture with this team. You know, I kind of have that old school mentality of, in a certain way, of, you know, it starts with the basics and it starts with guys understanding you're not good enough to be a diva. Once you're good enough, I'm all for divas. But you have to earn that. And I think there were some guys on this team, whether it was because it was Fred Hoiberg, that were deemed themselves divas way before they had they were writing checks. They weren't ready to cash. And I'll start with Zach. And I think Zach needed to be reeled in. And I think Jim Boylan knew he needed to be reeled in. And I don't think it helped that Jabari Parker was poisoning the water and moping around and had a big contract on top of it. So I think that's why the Otto Porter trade was so big for them, because now you got a guy who's making more money than Zach, and Zach can't look and say, well, that dude's not doing anything, because Otto Porter's a worker. And he can't say, well, that guy's not listening to Jim, because Otto Porter comes from that Georgetown mentality that coach says jump. You jump and you ask how high. And so I think that was important as far as changing that culture. So I do think there's something to be said about Jim putting a handprint on the culture. The next step for him, and I think bringing in a coach like Fleming, is huge, because this guy is a really good X and O guy and has a good reputation. I think that's where Jim has to grow as a head coach, is from his X's and O's. And I think, you know, his defensive schemes were so mishmashed, where it was, you know, I talked to Jimmy Butler about this when, you know, they had him for a couple of years, and Jimmy would get pissed because he was changing the game plan from game to game and saying, all right, we're playing this team tomorrow, it's a back-to-back, so we're going to do this. Instead of just having one identity to say, okay, we can show up at the hotel tomorrow for the walkthrough and know exactly what we are, exactly what kind of defense we're going to be, and not worried about what the other team's doing. So I think there are some things he still has to do that says to me, okay, this is the right guy for the job. Establishing a culture, I think you could check that box, because I do like that part of it.
This hour being sponsored by Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on 95th Street in Oak Lawn. As we wrap it up with Joe Cowley from the Sun-Times, what's up next for the Bulls, Joe? What's our next important date we should mark on our Bulls calendars?
Well, you know, I think we're going to start bringing guys in and interviewing these guys and then let this build up for the draft. I think, you know, like all the teams that have been eliminated, that's what this is about. No, I do think they will be busy trying to shop this pick and see what packages are out there, which is a little different from previous years where they like to hold on to picks and show, hey, we've really scouted well and this is our draft board and watch us use our draft board. I do think they are willing to move from this pick and will do everything they can to get an established point guard and kind of get a guy that play makes and does the things they need from a point guard right now that Chris Dunn isn't doing. So, yeah, it's phone calls and meetings, I think, until the draft.
Joe, thanks a bunch for the knowledge. Have a great day.
All right, you guys take care.
All right, thanks a million, Joe.
Joe Cowley from the Sun-Times.
A pretty honest assessment.
Yeah, he always is.
Yep. That's what I think, too.
We all reacted when, you know, I'm thinking about Jim Boylan, and Joe was complimentary in many regards on the Bulls head coach, and very few people have been willing to say anything good about him, because right. It's just our reaction when it comes up Bulls, and, you know, the first week he's on the job, he's got players threatening to contact the union over a violation of a practice after back-to-back.
I know.
And we all bought into that and just thought that was Jim Boylan encapsulated. He had a bad start.
He had a bad start,
but I think it's fair to listen to those, I always have believed, who are around it and let
way closer to it than we are.
See it evolve. And I don't know if he's a good coach, he's going to be a bad, but the people who are directly involved with it are talking about him making progress, and I didn't have a problem with him wanting to work his guys as hard. The thing about the practices after two games consecutively was silly. it was hideous, but that team was out of
college
shape at
stuff.
The beginning of the year.
College
that
stuff.
Team was out of shape.
Yeah.
They weren't fit.
Yeah.
Here begins, and you got guys out of shape. NBA players out of shape? What are you kidding me? This is the NBA.
Well, I think that when you look at the whole picture of him, part of the reason that people closer to it, like Joe is than we are, understand that while Boylan has some positive points, not a ton of positive points right now, because we haven't seen much except the early stuff, and everybody goes, oh, geez. And you did get rid of Jabari Parker, who was just a massive...
Yes.
Massive pain in the ass.
Putt whack.
Oh my
Give me
God!
A putt whack. Come on, we're
oh,
an hour and
the
a half
putt
in.
Whack.
There it is.
Oh my God! But he's also falls in that category that we sort of touched on earlier about the friendships you were discussing and the how are you friends with this person? Oh yeah, well my wife friends with this person. I know this person, and that's sort of the other thing that lurks with him that. A lot of people think he has his job because of this friendship or that friendship. I mean, not because of anything he's actually ever done on the court with his team, which is really hard to tell at this point. Please, next time they play, don't call me. But I mean, I think there's that's going to be over his head until he actually proves something, and it would be a great start if he had a point guard. It would be a great start if you just had a point guard.
I hear those are
That's
valuable.
Why I had to settle for number two. Everybody wanted Zion Williamson. Who doesn't? But Ja Morant, yeah, he looks to me like he's a pro player. He looks that good to me. Again, point guards are tricky. They can fool you sometimes, and they're not quite what they are. There's a lot of point guards drafted that just never do anything. But I think that's a pretty good pick at two. But the Bulls don't have the number two pick. But you can get one. But you gotta start with somebody on the court that's reflective of him. Somebody he can train. Somebody that's his guy.
He's Terry Bors. I'm Danny Mac. Parkins is on vacation. Keep the texts coming. 670-11. Yes, that is Terry Bors who's in studio with me today. We got to, boy, it's a perfect day for you to be here. We got a great birthday to celebrate in just a little bit and more baseball buzz. The first place Cubs continue to roll as we enjoy this.
The golden era.
The golden era.
The golden era of Cub baseball is upon us.
Whee! Not a golden Jack Brickhouse.
Jack Brickhouse, by the way, I failed to mention last time we talked, was another one of those guys that would come over the old bunker on Belmont and sit in between us for hours if we wanted to. And we said, Jack, can you sit every 3 hours? He'd said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he would have been happy to.
As
you know
long
what
as
I mean?
We were boring.
Yeah, well, God, I'm boring by birth. I can't help it. But when you think about that, here's a Chicago legend.
I know.
You didn't have to see. He wasn't like looking at his watch and, okay, that's the last question, guys. I'm going to get the hell out. No. He'd sit there all damn day and do the whole show.
He did a half a show with us. I still have that. Unfortunately, it's on cassette. My voice sounds like this. Hey! Whee! Brickhouse, you bum! McNeil and Bors, Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. That's gone. And now the Royals have the one-run lead. George Brett has just homered, and Billy Martin and the Yankees want the bat. Look at Martin.
Well, what they're talking about, Frank, is that he's got too much pine tar, and you've got to have a certain amount of distance from the trademark of the bat and the pine tar, and the umpires are going to get together. George Brett looking around and wanting to know what's going on, and the umpires are going to get together and talk about this thing. They might be going to call George Brett out.
Well, the Yankees win. He's out.
Yes, sir.
Brett is out. Look at this. Brett is out. And
he's steaming mad.
He is out and having to be forcibly restrained from hitting plate umpire Tim McClellan.
Happy birthday.
There's the answer to my question.
Happy birthday.
That's the answer to my question. Because I never know quite what you're thinking, but there it is.
He's the birthday boy today. Not Tim McClellan. George Brett. He used to be Mr. Pine Tar. Then he was Mr. Hemorrhoid. He's 66 today.
Wow.
But I don't think of him anymore in the Pine Tar. I mean, that's the famous, that look on his face, that enraged face as he came roaring up the steps of the dugout and going after the umpire.
Yes, he did.
And then he famously had he had hemorrhoids, which almost cost him a World Series appearance. Or did it cost him some playing time in a World Series? 85, does that sound right to you? I know he had the most famous hemorrhoids in America for...
I think it cost him the MVP. Hawk used to talk about it. I think that's what it was.
It was, he was the first actual case of roid rage. But he was.
I'll tell you who could play with hemorrhoids. That was Tony Conigliaro.
Well, yes.
His sphincter could be so swollen, he'd go out there and go 5 for 5.
George Brett, 66.
66, yes. Yeah. I don't think of pine tar. I don't think of hemorrhoids.
No.
I think of that fantastic piece of audio when he was mic'd up at Royals camp for the local Fox affiliate in Kansas City, and he forgot he was wearing a microphone.
My pants last night. I did. Went out and had a great meal, just a great meal. I had to go to the bathroom so bad in the car. I'm going, travel. I had my pants. I'm good twice a year for that. When was the last time you your pants?
Me?
Yeah. Been a while?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I was in Vegas a couple years ago. Just an honest to God true story. Staying at the Bellagio. I went over to the Mirage for dinner, met some friends of mine over there. Went to Kokomo's, a great little steakhouse. The guy brings out some fresh crab legs. Said, these just came in, I gotta give them to you guys. Brings them. I'm eating them. Then we go play gamble a little bit. I had a tea time early in the morning. So I said, look, I gotta get going. I'm walking back to the hotel. I get 3/4 of the way out of the lobby, and all of a sudden I go, oh. And I'm standing here like this. I got my butt pinched, so I can't move. All of a sudden, you know, felt all right. I went just like this. Water.
No way.
I had some food poisoning from the crabs. Take off my leather jacket. Tied it around my waist. And I'm just standing there, and it's just running down my leg. I got jeans on, black Bucks, no socks. And I just start walking. Every time I'm walking, something's coming out. It's water. Straight water. Then, to check how sick I was, tell you how sick I was. And then I'm standing outside. I got on my cell phone and I called the guy. I said, Larry, you won't believe this. I'm standing outside the garage. I can't move. I got everywhere. All over myself. And Larry's about a 48 waist. So he brings me over a pair of pants and some towels. And so then he comes over and he meets me where I'm standing. I tell him where I'm standing. Okay. He finds the closest bathroom when you go up the escalator. I can't get in the elevator. So he goes in, he finds the closest bathroom in the lobby of the hotel. And then I get in the escalator and he kind of pretends like he dropped something so no one gets behind me. He tells me where it is. I go in there. He goes and gets the towel all wet for me, throws it over the stall. I take off all my clothes, just wipe off, leave my shoes, left my shoes, my pants, everything right there, the towels right there in the stall, and I'm walking barefoot with my shirt and his pants that are 48 waist through the lobby like this at midnight. Got up in the morning, took the most perfect double taper I've ever had in my life. True story. Who's the pitchers in this game?
Who's the pitchers in this
game? TMI.
He was
great.
That poor kid he was telling the story to. Before there were numbers fashionable in the 70s, I mean, this guy's going to be a AA somewhere in about a week. Here's the Hall of Famer, George Brett. He picked me to share that story about his annual poop in his pants. Straight water.
Annual indeed.
I hope May 15th always falls during the week, or I'll do a weekend show to come in just to play that in its entirety. That is what, about 2 minutes and 40 seconds or something of the yes.
Radio gold.
219, yeah. Share that with your friends. Google George Brett poops his pants.
I think it's like about a 48 waist.
That's him.
Yeah,
that's him.
Yes,
genuine.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It would be bad
100%
if we just
genuine.
Said it was. And
yeah,
it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly who he said. That's exactly who he was.
Well, he was bothered by that getting out, and he was furious about it. In fact, Parkins told me, and he was at the Royals flagship during his purgatory time in Kansas City. You know, he doesn't act, you know, he doesn't treat it like that or look at it that way, but it was. He wanted to be here, and he said there was spoken at the station that when you have George Brett in, that doesn't come up. You never bring that up with George Brett. That is whereas you'd think.
That's fair enough.
As much fun as he had telling the story, how can you not at that point stay committed to it? Because you realize what it is. It's just something that happens with guys. Not all of us, but many of us have, had occasional mishaps and aren't mind sharing. White Pines Golf Course, not too far from your old house in Mokina.
I remember.
Once had a pair of...
Was it the Zubaz?
It was Steelers Zubaz shorts.
Oh,
yes.
Zubaz shorts.
I was
thinking about you and Zubaz today on the way in. I don't know why.
White Pines is that little par 3 course.
Still there.
Right on 183rd Street, I think?
Still
right
there.
Right off Halstead,
It's still there. Still there.
Still
waiting
there.
Waiting for you. 179. Yeah. Waiting for you. They're still there. They still left the Zubaz behind glass.
Jeans on, black Bucks, no socks.
I didn't want to walk in. We were coming back from Platteville, Wisconsin, and it was late. It was midnight or something like that, and I didn't want to go in and wake up Terry's family, so I can make it home. I don't even get back to 80. I can't make it home.
No, that's about 3 minutes from where I live.
Whoops, wait a minute. Yeah. I'm not going to make it. Bad decision. But he should have owned that. He should have taken endorsements, you know? Why not? It's just part of life. It's
I'm
okay.
Good twice a year for that.
Twice a year. You know, I'm good for an outdoor once a year. Can't
an outdoor mishap.
Don't want to make it. This hour of the show is being sponsored by the Chicago Wolves, and boy, are they getting their money's worth. The Wolves have advanced to the Western Conference Finals versus San Diego. Game 1 and 2 played this Friday night and Saturday night at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at $15. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for playoff and ticket information. As a ball player, George Brett was a fierce competitor. Loved watching him play baseball. Also celebrating birthdays today, Terry.
I was going for the triple crown until I got the hemorrhoid.
I'm going to take up that excuse.
Ray Lewis. I like it. Ray Lewis is 44 years old today, the Super Bowl 35 MVP, one of my favorite NFL players of all time, and we talked recently about guys who have off the field or off the stage, out of the recording studio issues, whatever craft of entertainment they might be in, and where you draw the line when it comes to any memorabilia you may have. And it occurred to me when I don't know how this conversation started, but if I were to go into the basement, the man cave, I hate that word, but I don't have a better one for it. If I'm going to take things out for people who've had morality issues, I'm going to have empty walls because there goes a lot of rock and roll memorabilia. There goes all my movie
posters.
Something
about you.
In which Kevin Spacey, he's just like the usual suspects. I've got the lineup scene, matted and framed, big, can't
see,
have
that.
See,
you should
have
called me before you did that. I could have told you.
Oh, you would have known.
Oh, for the love of God, yes. When I used to take
what did you know?
Terry's guy had it.
No,
didn't have my phone, buddy.
when Drew Hayes, I forget which station he was running, we would have dinner once in a while, and he'd be recruiting me to work, right?
Yeah, that was one of
there was a
hobbies.
Bar kitty corner to where we were that I would go and sit in that bar after a while. It was ever happened to me. Drew and I would sometime go in there, or I'd meet somebody else there and we'd sit around and have a drink. The bartender there, this is years ago. This is the '90s. You know, when people actually wanted me around.
Uh-huh.
And bartender said to me, well, Kevin Spacey was in here last night. I said, he was? He said, yeah. I sat right in that corner booth over there with a kid. And I said, a kid? What are you talking about? He said, like 17 years old. Maybe, I wasn't old enough to drink, but he was sitting with him. And I said, oh, okay. I mean, I'm putting this all together, finally, what he's trying to say.
You know,
it's like, so, I mean, this is way before any of this broke, but he said he's famous for it. He comes in here and does that all the time. When he's in Chicago, this is where he comes. So I'm thinking, what kind of bar am I in exactly? Am I going to be a young guy sitting next to me in a second? But no, apparently he had a way of finding them, and this is where he'd invite them, which wasn't an out-of-the-way place, by the way. Wasn't an out-of-the-way place. It's not exactly buried in the boonies somewhere. It's right there. But, I mean, that's the first I'd ever heard anything about Kevin Spacey. And he wasn't quite the megastar he became over this, that, and the other stuff. But so people I say,
you're
yeah,
right. I should have consulted you right after Usual Suspects before I got that poster.
Oh, I believe the guy 100%. Because, I mean, you don't pull the name Kevin Spacey out and say,
right.
Well, yeah, he was sitting there last night. Yeah, I was. Because we weren't talking about Kevin Spacey. It wasn't hardly part of the point of conversation. Yeah, we were sitting there talking about Kevin Spacey. No, we weren't. He just wanted to talk. He just wanted to come over and say, hey, by the way. Kevin Spacey was in here last night. Oh, really? And what's that got to do with me? But he wanted to tell somebody the story. You know how bartenders are. Sometimes they just get going.
Yeah.
They want to tell
kinda
you what
like
they know.
Kind of like talk
show hosts,
huh?
Yeah, exactly. They want to tell you what they know. And I'm thinking, holy crap. And then when all this finally broke, I mean, you know, the guy was absolutely 100% correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. Sometimes not so much. You get some guys who lie to you. Just I don't know why they do, but they like to.
Yeah, I still watch the movies.
If I'm in the mood for, you know.
You don't boycott him?
No. I mean, he's not working right now. I don't imagine that'll change anytime soon. But no. I like his work. And if we're going to, you know, I liked watching Ray Lewis play football. He was convicted of that. He was absolutely there the night of the murder in Atlanta the year before they won a Super Bowl.
Yes, he was.
Doesn't strike me as a real quality guy, but I loved watching him play football. So I have a bobblehead of Ray Lewis. You know?
I remember your name,
I have
Dave.
One of Bobby Hull. I have one of Patrick Kane. You gave me a Led Zeppelin Rock and Roll Hall of Fame enshrinement poster that my first wife, Jill, had matted and framed up, and they were noted pedophiles.
Well, you're across the board, aren't you? You got it's the pedophile Hall of Fame.
Get rid of it all. Just paint everything
pedophile
black.
Hall of Fame. Tech guy.
How fun is it to hang out with Ray Lewis?
It's awesome, isn't it?
We're going to take a time out.
Oh, my God.
I got a Cubs lineup. Cubs and Reds at 5. Shortly after 5, I'll share with you in a little bit. Boards in for Parkins on the score.
Hey, Terry.
Terry is here on In Relief of Danny Parkins, who's gone away. His bird is about to leave. I wonder if he's still listening. I bet he's not the kind of guy who listens to the captain's instructions. He's still listening, yeah.
I doubt it.
How's the reception in Coach Parksy? Start saving up some frequent flyer miles. Throw her a bone when you fly her to Europe. Flying first. This segment brought to you by Rental Max, Chicagoland's equipment rental, contractors, and industrial businesses. Will you need rent reliable equipment tomorrow? Visit or call one of their 8 Chicago area locations. Staffed with experienced rental equipment experts, and Rental Max will deliver to your site on time, on budget. Visit rentalmax.com. So the Cubs continue their series against the Reds tonight with Yu Darvish taking the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, he has been better away from home than he's been at Wrigley Field, so that bodes
Joe
well
Madden
for him.
Joe Madden expects him to be great. He expects a breakthrough anytime if that happens.
Well, the good news is he follows Hendricks. So you get Hendricks going deep, so your bullpen's fresh. They had a day off on Monday. Very little work last night. Cubs are 25-14 as they begin play tonight. 2.5 games up on the Brewers, who continue against the Phillies tonight. Gio Gonzalez, who was really good against the Cubs this past Friday, will oppose Jake Arrieta in that one. But the Cubs have the second-best winning percentage in baseball. Only the Astros have a better winning percentage.
Astros have been red hot, yeah. Yeah. And the thing about it, you mentioned before about being the golden era of the Cubs. And a while back, when I was still, you know, out for the winter, kind of away for the winter, I finished Rappaport's book, and I got to thinking about those Cubs of the 60s and the early 70s, you know, into the 70s a little bit, with the guys they had and the lineup they had and the things they had and the pitching they had and everything they had. And I was, in conjunction with this team, you'd go, that team should have won something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How could you not, with that team, win something? So when you start talking about a golden era of baseball for the Cubs, you are in it. You've already won once. And you've got a good chance to win for maybe the next 2 or 3 years,
yeah.
Depending on how the starters last, the health-wise and all that. But they've been fairly healthy this year. I know the bullpen has struggled with injuries and so forth. That's general around baseball. That seems to be everybody. But, I mean, your window is still open for this team.
No question.
Still very much open.
Yeah,
so.
Right in the sweet spot of it. And what year did divisional play, postseason play, 67?
God, I
was it was a little earlier than that when they actually started having playoffs?
That's a great question.
The 59 White Sox did not play a postseason series until the World Series.
That's correct.
Yeah,
they did not.
So when did? So I mean, it wasn't what I'm saying is it's hard to believe that team, those Cubs teams, never made the playoffs. But there were a few years
look at
there.
That. When you read that book,
but
you
got
to
finish
lineup.
First out of 12, though.
Yeah.
You got to win the pennant by having the best record in the league. There's no playoffs in that era. Until
that's true.
Around 66,
you can't redeem yourself in the playoffs if you have an injury or something goes wrong and you have a tough stretch, you have no way to get back to the playoffs. You're right, but still, this is I read the book. I enjoyed the book very much. And I know you had Ron in the studio. And I enjoyed it very much. It didn't, I wasn't sure what it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned a lot about the Cubs. Learned a lot about the era of Ernie Banks and mm-hmm. what he put up with and what he faced and all that stuff. And most of all, I came away from the book thinking to myself, again, as I did when I was a kid, 29 or 30 years old, thinking, how the hell did you not win with this team?
Right.
What are you doing? Right. How could this team not win? Come on. Are there you crazy? Is. Look at these players you had.
There it is.
Oh, my God.
69 is when they started playing postseason baseball.
Okay.
Yeah, Cubs line up like this today. Here's how Joe's got them lining up against Sonny Gray. Jason Hayward leading off in right. Bryant will hit second and play first base tonight. Keep watching that. Anthony Rizzo, where is he, Shep? What's up?
He's got a back.
He's got a back.
Got a back.
How long has he had that, Terry?
About a week back.
Baez hits third and plays shortstop. Yeah. Schwarber is the left fielder hitting cleanup. Bodie, the third baseman, en route to his 400 plate appearances, costing me $400. Albert Almora Jr. will play center field. Little Sparky hitting sixth tonight. Addison Russell is the second baseman, batting seventh. Taylor Davis will catch Yu Darvish. Sonny Gray to pitch for the Reds. Why don't you tell people about a great Brazilian steakhouse, Terry? I left that sitting right there because I think when people are getting ready, they're thinking about dinner right about now, about an hour or so away from making plans. Terry Boers can sell food like nobody else.
This segment is brought to you by Fogo de Chão, Brazilian steakhouse for premium cuts of meat only one place can satisfy. Fogo de Chão, Brazilian steakhouse. Why choose just one cut when you could have it all? Discover your favorites at Fogo in Chicago, Rosemont, and Naperville. Reservations, here's what you do. It's simple, even for me. Fogo.com.
That was a good call. Nice call, Danny.
I want to say something else. Every time I think
skewers
about that,
and Brazilian meat, jalapenos and more.
Oh, yeah, they got it all.
Yes, he's hey, Terry Boers.
Hopefully, like we did so many others, we won't put them out of business. God bless you and your Brazilian steakhouse.
The butcher shop.
We put the jalapenos and more right out of business.
Keep the text coming, 670-11. You want to jump in, 312-644-6767. Terry and I have another hour to spend with you. Come join us at Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.